Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's have a ball and a biscuit, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble, full of one at Old Trafford and Liverpool are the Carabao Cup champions. It's Monday, 26th of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Hey, hello, everybody. Football Ramble time. And my goodness, the first silver of the season has been dispatched and sent off.
Why don't they make it gold?
Yeah.
Why can't they make it gold?
That's got to be the World Cup, baby.
Mm. Yeah, maybe.
I've had two thoughts recently. Why don't they make it gold? And I said this on Ramble React. Why don't they make dynamic advertising hoardings? You know when people smash penalties into advertising hoardings? Why don't they
Penalties into advertising hoardings?
Yeah, if you miss and you smash the ball into the advertising hoarding.
Okay.
Why isn't there some kind of like computerized system where something happens in that spot on the advertising hoarding where the ball hits?
Mm. Should we tackle the first question?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think that it's called silverware, not goldware.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd have to change the whole system.
Yeah, you'd have to change the whole system. I'm not changing words.
Exactly.
For that.
Yeah. People don't even realise they've changed the goalposts from wood to something a little different now.
Yeah.
Still call it the woodwork. Old habits die hard.
It's interesting though. Like, it's also interesting that you raise the World Cup because it's the most important cup in the world, and it's not a cup.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the big issues today on the Football Ramble, everybody. Morning, we released a bonus episode featuring some of our favourite moments from Ramble Uncut. Every Wednesday, our Football Ramble patron subscribers get an extended edition of the show where we talk about absolutely all sorts, bruvs. Mm. And now, on today's compilation, you'll hear some marriage advice Alan Brazil once gave me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm still married.
Yep.
Which suggests I didn't take the advice.
Married to the job, the Football Ramble job.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So listen to that straight after the show. And if you like what you hear, head over to patreon.com/footballramble for more of that good stuff. They should do it, shouldn't they, Jim?
I think they should. Yeah. And they're already here.
Tell them what to do after that as well. Do the show before that, yeah?
Some things should remain secrets, Peter. Now, let's move on to our highlights of the weekend. Jim Campbell, you had a blisteringly good weekend, as the tabloid suggested.
Indeed.
What was a highlight, though, if you had to pick one?
I would go for Moussa Niakate's goal for Forest because he scored with his chest. Ooh. We are seeing a recurrence of this happening. Ooh. Maybe it's going to become a body part as regularly scored with as the head. Who knows? The data suggests that we're onto something here.
Ah, interesting. Mm. Peter.
I've got two. I'll keep talking about him and you're not going to stop me. Peter Yutaka scored in the J-League over the weekend. Uh-huh. 25 minutes on the pitch and a goal at 40 years old.
That is wonderful.
It's good stuff, isn't it? And he's also got three in the Asian Champions League in 8 appearances. He just keeps going, mm-hmm. and he will not be stopped. I mean, you watch that goal and you remember how bad J2 League is, but it's still just great to see.
But how come he's in the Asian Champions League then if they're in J2?
Because they won the Emperor's Cup last year.
See, it all makes sense, they got everybody.
And it was very much, I very much enjoy Peter Tucker on Instagram because he has got what can be described as the world's best boss. Him and his missus just rolling around Japan in like such an expensive, almost camper van Humvee kind of job. It's
so
beautiful.
Like a mobile home, or
it's like a mobile home, but it's
I think
it's like one of those kind of big Hummers, but they've done it out like a kind of gold lame. I don't know what lame is. It feels like a gold lame jacket van. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think and PG Tucker, of course, he has played 7 times for Nigeria.
Yes.
And normally when somebody stops playing international football, winding down their career, his last appearance for Nigeria came in 2011.
Wow. Keeps going.
What an incredible twilight
he's
of his career.
Good in the J League. He's very good. But and also that dad at the Sunderland match who was writing about Hitler on his mobile phone.
Oh, this is your other highlight. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. Can you talk us through this? Because some people may not be aware of this.
So Sunderland were losing and somebody took a picture of a bloke, I presume some kind of dad, on Facebook, tapping away on his mobile phone, writing. It started with, "Get these money-grabbing French C-words out of our Sunderland Athletic Football Club. Folks, forget our oldest enemy, these same French people who invaded our island in 1066. It's just all that. It just keeps on going downhill, and then the wall gets brought up. And it's good stuff. And it's just lovely. It's like when you see like an older gentleman writing some really filthy grot into a text message. Well, you see that sometimes on people post pictures of people typing like, "I'm going to do this to you when I get home."
You only see
it
if you search for it, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm just watching. If anybody gets a mobile phone out, I'm looking at it.
I love the fact when people go back hundreds, maybe even thousands of years, they're our enemies. It's like, you find in far more recent warfare, France were very much not against it.
We've got a lot of them, haven't we?
Oh, he goes into that in detail in the message.
Oh, does he?
He's got some quite strong opinions about how France behaved in the Second World War. Yeah.
Way more recent than that.
Mm. Yeah.
He's still at the game.
I know
football can be an emotional thing and it makes people say silly things they don't necessarily mean, but my goodness.
Yeah.
It's 3 paragraphs.
We should say this is because Sunderland's owner is Swiss-French. It doesn't justify it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we're not saying,
if
you think this guy's being a bit of a dick, hang on. Let's look at the big picture here, guys. No, yeah. I think that's why in his mind, he's doing it the silly sausage.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sunderland, a few people getting in touch with regards to Jack's Encyclopedia saying that Mark Clattenburg's never given a yellow card or a red card or whatever the question was, and never given a card to a Sunderland player because apparently he's a Newcastle fan.
Right.
So I was way off.
So he's not allowed.
So I might as well have picked a team from the J-League.
Yeah, or the NHL.
Yeah. Exactly. My highlight of the weekend, I mean, there is one that leaps to mind, of course, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sure we'll get into that one.
But we'll get into that in a minute. But of course, Fulham winning at Old Trafford. But before we do, there's the small matter of the Carabao Cup final. It was Chelsea 0, Liverpool 1. Liverpool are 100 grand richer today. My goodness.
What are they going to spend that on?
Toys for all the youngsters.
And Chelsea really needed that 100 grand.
Pokemon cards for the kids.
The whole shooting match. Yeah, Liverpool finished the game with 5 players aged 21 or younger, including Lee Clark's son.
Oh, yeah. I very much like the idea of his dad in the crowd wearing a sad Scouser Bastard 7 top. Just really, remember when Lee Clark went to Wembley with a sad Mac and Bastards top?
I don't think he was employed
by Sunderland.
I don't think he'd have a... Yeah, I mean, that was ridiculous behaviour. Yeah. I don't think he'd do that with Liverpool fans, would he?
Well, I don't know. You never know. Okay. He's got it in him.
His father's son,
true enough. Yeah. Mm. Would you think that would sour his son's big day?
Yeah.
To look up in the stands and go, "Dad, look at me, I've won it." What's that he's got on his top?
Oh, God. Oh, Dad.
Dad, now people are getting stuck into you. What are you doing?
Watching your dad getting beaten up.
I think it might sour it, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
But there we are. I mean, it was an extraordinary game of football. How on earth? Yes.
I mean, I suppose it was... That made it sound like it was going to be. It was a really enjoyable spectacle, which I don't believe that it was.
It was an enjoyable match, I think.
It was
better than last year's.
No, I don't think it
and
was.
And fucking cheaper
great.
From your settee.
So when the goal went in the 118th minute, you thought to yourself, well, that wasn't coming.
I thought you've made us wait around all day for penalties, and now you've denied us that.
Right, okay.
Right.
Blimey.
Wow, yeah. You're a real purist, aren't you?
Empty today, aren't you, Gordon Bennett?
No, it just this is very.
You've been hanging out with me.
did you sort of see it as a sort of entertaining?
Well, I thought it was entertaining. I did think it was entertaining. I couldn't believe that we had to wait 118 minutes for a goal. But this is an incredible win for Liverpool. There's no two ways about that. Klopp said that it was words to the effect of the most enjoyable trophy win he's ever had, and so on. And it's incredible for a chap who's had such success, of course, and success with Liverpool, won so many trophies, that he would say that about this. But you totally understand what he means. Liverpool, a lot of first team players not playing. Perhaps if he wanted to have made some of them available, they could have been. But he stuck to playing a lot of the youngsters. Now, Chelsea also had a very young side, we should say. I think sometimes we think that Chelsea have got this very mature, experienced side. But the difference is, of course, that Liverpool have much more academy players on the pitch rather than, you know, big signings and so on and so forth. But when all's said and done, Jim Campbell, Chelsea will be thinking, how on earth have we not won that? And Liverpool will be celebrating this as if it's a first trophy almost under Jurgen.
Absolutely.
Klopp.
I mean, this Conor Gallagher missed a couple of chances, of course, and you could see when he came off that he was he knew that if they didn't go home with the cup, that you know, he was the guy who had an opportunity to turn the game the other way. He looked very, very distraught almost coming off. Axel Disasi had a chance, didn't he? Right in front of the goal, which came off his thigh. And I know that's a difficult thing to execute, but I think that was a much bigger chance than it might have seemed in the moment, because he was so, so close to goal. It could have changed everything there. And it really did seem as if, well, I mean, I say it seems as if, Pochettino said as much himself, that in extra time, Chelsea were kind of hanging on for penalties a little bit. And
I couldn't believe when I saw that.
Given that there were so many academy players on the pitch. Now, we know that they're very, very good players. Uh-huh. Liverpool look like they're being left in a very healthy position in terms of that. But obviously, most of them are only playing because there's so, so many injuries to the first team squad. It's not as if this is some kind of
plan.
It's not like they've got this amazing crop of young players that they've decided to sort of bank on for the season. They're playing them through necessity, and they are acquitting themselves brilliantly. Clearly,
necessity,
very, very
but
exciting.
Also I think as a want as well. I think you're right.
I'm not saying they're gutted about it.
No, as in Klopp, I think is giving them big minutes. If you see what I mean, big minutes.
Yeah, Klopp's big minutes.
Yeah, you're right to say that, but I think there's also another side of it that he trusts these players so much. And Conor Bradley, for example.
Yeah, Conor Bradley, he's the standout there.
But he's playing centre midfield, and he's pushed out to the right wing. He's playing all sorts. And, I mean, it seems to me, to add to your point about them being in a very healthy position when Klopp leaves, my goodness, that winning mentality, that sort of...
None of them look overawed, do they?
Exactly.
They all look like they've been playing there a long time. They fit right in. Well, that's really the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to sort of give those players their flowers while also saying that it is astonishing to me that Chelsea haven't looked at this team that's... I think probably half of them were sort of like teenage academy players by the end of the game and not thought, let's just go for it for sort of 5 minutes somewhere in that time.
Yeah.
It's like,
well,
the fact of the matter is they are inexperienced. Surely you try and turn that to your advantage.
Well, I couldn't believe that quote from Pochettino, which seems to suggest that they were playing for penalties. He said the team felt maybe the penalties would be good for us. To be honest with you, I actually disagreed with that. I thought it was going to go to penalties, and I thought this has got a Liverpool penalty win all over it.
I mean, if that had happened, like this game felt like an AI's idea of a Carabao Cup final, didn't it? Like, it just followed every beat you'd expect
strange,
from it.
Yeah. I would say like when you bring in players like Mudryk on, you're like, well, go for it.
Especially when Liverpool were on the ropes.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, you mentioned Conor Gallagher there. Obviously, there's the one that came off the post, which was unlucky, but it does go down as a good chance.
Yeah, sure.
And then the one where he's through on goal. And it's funny because if that's a striker, you wonder if he takes that first time. Mm. However, Callagher was superb. I said on Friday, with regards to Liverpool's injuries, I said, Alisson not being there is a plus because he's possibly the best goalkeeper in the world. However, Keller has been there and done it with Liverpool in finals. So actually, it doesn't seem to be a huge plus, if you see what I mean. No. And Kelleher was brilliant in goal. Both Coopers, I thought, were very, very good.
He's so assured.
Oh, he is.
I think, presumably, he'll move on soon because he's too good to sort of be a backup goalkeeper, I would think.
I mean, has he been given enough to stay? I think this is what Klopp's been doing. I mean, Alisson is 31. So, yeah, I mean, Alisson could conceivably be there for another 3 or 4 years, you would think. Mm. So you are right, Jim. I think what Klopp's done really well with Kelleher is Kelleher's played in cup finals.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's won medals, and he's not sort of... Not that if you're just a squad player, of course, you can't proudly have the medal around your neck. I don't mean that at all. But, of course, if you've played...
He's been a key figure in the wins.
Exactly. And so I think Klopp's been very clever with that. In he's kept him sweet, if you see what I mean. He's kind of look, you've had you and you will get more of this, but in terms of does Kelleher want to be the number one, that's when we'll see if he wants to move.
Could be the number two at Liverpool, which is a hell of an important job. I'll be the number one at a Sheffield United.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, Alex Ferguson always
I think
used
he
to
could
say,
go somewhere.
I'm just saying Sheffield United need a goalkeeper.
Okay.
Alex Ferguson used to say, didn't he, that if he had a player that was leaving Man United and it hadn't worked out for whatever reason, and they had an opportunity to go to sort of another one of the bigger clubs where they might be in a similar situation where they're not starting all the time, he would always encourage them to do that because he would say that you would learn a lot more there. Uh-huh. So I think Kelleher has probably had such an incredible education at Liverpool and will be ready to go as a really, really reliable, like probably top level goalkeeper. Yeah.
Well, I think it all depends on who comes in next because you look at those academy players, the younger players and the more senior players, they're all on the same page. I mean, Darwin Nunez just running down the stand, you know, just trying to get on the pitch, jumping over the fences, and like, ah, come on, wanting to get involved. You know, it shows you how synced up it is and how seductive that would be for a young player or a player who thinks, you know, I've got a bit of experience. I could be a starting player somewhere else, but my goodness, it's good being here. Mm-hmm. Like it really is. You know, look at the fan base. I mean, the way that the Liverpool fans started singing towards the end of, I can't remember. I mean, probably it was all, but towards the end of the 90 minutes, then into extra time. You know, that club is just so well set up at the moment. We've known that for a while, obviously under Klopp. So to leave that would be a huge thing. I understand completely what you're saying, to go and, you know, you want to go and bet yourself and play more, but it would be a brave thing. So, you know, glorious from Liverpool, quite frankly. And Van Dijk, of course, right at the end of the game. But Chelsea, I mean, Gary Neville called them blue billion-pound bottle jobs.
Bear beats Battlestar Galactica.
I love how he put blue in there.
Yeah. Didn't need blue in there.
It's really hard to tell whether it was kind of premeditated or not.
It was premeditated, surely.
He spat it out with such venom. He was very funny, actually, Neville, in general.
Do you think
I don't know if he's meaning to be funny. Right, there you go. But there are times where he does my head in a bit, frankly, as a co-commentator. And there are times when he's really good as well. And I think yesterday he was really, really good. He makes me laugh. There's something about him that's so, so sincere, but he's so dour, so sincerely dour about a thing he loves. Mm. And that's always, it's like you, actually.
Right.
It's just fascinating to me.
I mean, I do kind of resemble him a little bit.
A tiny bit, but only because everyone looks like you in some way.
A little rat boy.
Yeah, the ratty quality that you have is where
exactly, yeah.
The dislikable, the punchable face.
Yeah. Scum. You know when they open up an old engine and there's just oil, dirty old oil. That's that.
But there's another point as well where I think Cody Gakpo missed the chance. He just went, "Oh, Gakpo," but it was had the sort of kind of the tone that you might expect to hear at a kind of open mic poetry night. You're about to hear something like faux profound that's going to make you cringe a bit.
Gakpo, you missed a chance.
That sort of
thing.
And
then it would go on. Do you think they are bottle jobs, Peter?
Yes, I think they are.
All right.
I think they are. Yeah. I think we've made this very clear right throughout this show, and we will continue to do so.
Okay. Sounds like a banner they might have in future, like to display ironically. That'd be quite good.
Yes.
Better than some of the ones they've got, like Drogba Legend.
You're right, though. That's what's going to happen. The next trophy they win, especially if it's against Manchester United, that banner will be held up, won't it?
Yeah. Yazard.
So, I mean, a couple of the other talking points. You mentioned Van Dijk's goal. You felt that should have been given, do you think?
Well, I understand it's one of those things where the letter of the law is that if Endo's kind of interfering from an offside position, then it's going to be given. But I think it's one of those things you see a lot of the kind of post-match analysis. Oh, we see that stuff all the time. And I don't know if you do, to be honest, in terms of him.
I mean, there's like a lot of blocking.
Starting in a, yeah, blocking is a sort of, you know, completely legitimate part of defending a corner, right? But the thing for me that makes you think it's harsh is that Chilwell was by Van Dijk. It's not like there was no one on him, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just feels like... I'd have been really annoyed if that had been chalked off for my team.
Can you just be annoyed for football in general?
I'm just annoyed
okay,
at life and, you know, having to experience it. I didn't ask for this.
As I say, Chelsea and all their fans will be thinking today, how on earth have we not won that trophy? Yeah. It was such a chance, not only to win the trophy, but to beat Liverpool, which is a sort of a modern-day rival, if you see what I mean. And it's just not happened. They will be pig sick today. And I mean, some Chelsea fans already calling for Mauricio Pochettino's head.
Who else is going to do it?
Because that'll help with it.
Who else is going to do it? Why change it? Like, it's just going to get worse.
The thing is, Pete, like, normally when you say that, it can be quite sort of...
Nihilistic.
Yeah. Miserable. Mm. But I agree with you.
Like, I don't worrying.
That would be Pochettino's best defence, wouldn't it? Yeah. If he sat there and they're saying, well, some people have been calling for him. Like, I'm already here.
Like, imagine.
Why are you going to twist again?
You'd have to get the little paperclip to write you out a P45 wouldn't you?
Get him some new lemons.
Get the man some lemons.
Actually, isn't the idea that the lemons stick around for ages? We have to wait for the lemon energy to ripen, I believe, before that starts taking effect.
Are these long life lemons?
I think it was there was something like that, wasn't there?
Yeah, they're taken.
I can't say I've, you know, committed too much mental energy to it.
What is the state of journalism in this country if someone after that final is not going to mention the lemons?
Yeah.
It's piss poor.
There's a great, very easy potential protest from Chelsea fans as well, which is just start chucking them at the dugout, surely, if they're that displeased.
Surely, though, the ire should be towards Todd Bowley more.
Yeah, but, you know, to what ends? He's not going to sell up, is he?
No.
Imagine if he didn't really understand this whole thing.
I don't have to imagine it, mate.
Someone like just slips him a petition. Well, we've had a petition and actually the threshold has been met, which means you have to sell up.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh, that's a bit annoying.
Is that what happened to the last guy?
In a way.
Yes.
sort of.
Yeah. I mean, this of course comes at a time when Chelsea are reminded of former glories. Because John Terry posted a photo of himself on Instagram with the I think it was the League Cup trophy.
He was naked in the buff.
He was basically saying that the tassels. It's a good job the tassels are so long because he's got such a. I mean, he doesn't exude that kind of energy for me, Clive.
I love it how you didn't want to end that sentence.
No. It's probably why the Chelsea team didn't want to win the cup because they would have to kiss that cup. That's been on his Johnson.
Oh, so you're blaming John Johnson.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so that's why they sort of weren't giving it everything in extra time.
Exactly.
Well, did he post it just after 90 minutes? Because it did seem odd.
Yeah.
They were really going for it. Yeah. Someone thought, oh no, lads, have you seen this? Right,
seen this.
Take it
let's
easy.
Let's Willy take on that. Easy. Yeah.
And the jokes on Liverpool, they won the trophy. So, all right, well, a great win for Liverpool. 1 out of 4. You wouldn't bet against them. Right, everybody. Let's go to the Premier League. Manchester United scored 1 goal. Fulham got 2, Peter.
Yes. 1 goal. Hey.
That's 2-1 at the Swamp.
Take it.
Marcus, you must be...
Yeah!
You must be terrifically torn with a Maguire goal involved as well.
Not torn at all.
You're like Bruce Lee
afternoon.
In the Hall of Mirrors. Just like, I just don't know which way to go on this one.
Fulham won, Maguire scored. What's wrong?
Double vindication for Marcus Speller. Yeah. That's your favourite thing, isn't it? Being right.
Correct.
Maguire probably should have been sent off as well for a raker.
Do you know what, actually? I kind of agreed with the chaps on Match of the Day. I think it probably was a yellow. It was it was an orange card.
But sure, right. Sinbin Maguire.
The thing is, with that type of tackle, don't do a tackle or a foul in which the referee could maybe send you off.
Sure.
If that's the way you're going with it, then stop that.
Do it properly.
Easier said than done, though, isn't it?
No, not do it properly, Peter.
I call this move the angle grinder.
If you're going to get a red card, get a bloody red card. Yeah. You're going to rip me.
I'm right.
Do some damage. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They could have had 12 on the pitch. I think Fulham would have still won.
It. Super cottagers.
I love it. I absolutely bloody love it. The fact is as well that the narrative would have been all kind of, oh, Manchester United, another late win and another float. Oh, not today, boys.
Because, yeah. I mean, the really fascinating thing about this game was quite how much Fulham battered Man United as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this performance is really surprising from United, really, because they've been really good lately. And sure, they've, you know, maybe... we've spoken a lot about the game management and how they have periods in every game where they don't seem to be able to assert any control, but it seems like they were barely in this game.
Mm. No. And
not a chance.
And so I'm just very pleased for Marco Silva, obviously. I've talked up that beautiful little man many times, how he knows how to play against some of the big sides. Inevitably, because it's Fulham and they're mid-table Premier League side, they don't win against the big side. That's just how it works, Peter. Mm. But we've seen them play very admirably against Liverpool, for example, this season. Not even got a victory, but still have given them a good run for their money. Arsenal, they've taken 4 points off Arsenal this season. With Manchester United, okay, Manchester United aren't up there with, say, Liverpool and Arsenal, but still. But against Manchester United specifically, were beaten for a very late goal at Craven Cottage this season. Last season in the cup, you know, they had the sending off and it all capitulated when they were the better side. See, Fulham can exert themselves on to a better side and actually get a bit of joy. It's just finishing the chances. Mm. And when you know, Iwobi had a couple of moments and so on before this, you thought, oh, lads, is this going to end up the same way? Another good performance, but, you know, it's a loss by a goal or maybe just
that one
a point.
Off the post for Muniz was just incredible. Like, yeah. The way
Luke was talking him up on Friday.
His control,
yeah,
it just killed the ball dead, turns and then whacks against the post. I was like, oh, come on. Come on.
Let him have it. Go in. Let him have a goal.
Glued to his right foot.
Yeah, he's having a great time and he was excellent as well. But when Fulham scored, you thought, oh, here we go. On for their, just would be their second win at Old Trafford since 1963. And then, of course, Harry Maguire pops up.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's all sort of Manchester United pushing for the equaliser, but they forgot all about Adama Traore.
They did, yeah.
And he did the right thing, Jim. He got past his man, he got in there, and then he passed it to
Absolutely.
Someone else.
I mean, his assist record isn't great either, is it? Like, compared to like his goal scoring record, which, as we know, isn't great. But it's, when Harry Maguire scores in the 89th minute, did you feel betrayed?
Well, no, I can't
begrudge
him that.
You've been his greatest champion.
Yeah, I have been. I thought to myself, there's still plenty of time for Fulham to get a winner here. Yeah,
the way Iwobi just takes out two players with one touch and then slots home. It was easy for him after he took those two players out. He's like, yeah. And it took was one little touch.
Yeah, you're right. Great. And Dalot, I think, had his back to him. So Dalot had the best view of it as it goes in.
I'm sure that'll be some consolation. Best seat in the house, at least.
Yeah. Oh, how much would this... It would be thousands of pounds, this seat, wouldn't it?
I know. But to do all that without João Palhinha as well.
Mm. He's Portugal's longest man.
Portugal's longest man.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah, incredible. But a great win for... Obviously, Manchester United were out without Rasmus Højlund.
Mm.
But they look very toothless.
Is Calvin Bassey one of the most likeable characters in the Premier League? I think he might be.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Did you watch that documentary of him when he was at Ajax, where he went to his old school in Stratford?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
And it's worth a while. It's only a few minutes long, but my favourite bit is he goes... Well, two bits make me laugh, because one, he goes into the school and he goes, why is everything so small? It's like, it's a school, Calvin. Mm. It's a school. The chairs are going to be small.
You've grown.
And the other one, where he goes, the only time I remember going in this classroom is when we had sex education. I remember thinking, this is disgusting. And so I think next time he's in a post-match and he scored a wonder goal or whatever, you've got to say, I'm from left back or whatever, you've got to ask him whether he still finds sex disgusting.
Is that
and
right?
If they don't ask that, journalism has failed, in my opinion.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting chap is Bass. He was born in Italy, you know.
Was he?
Yeah, he was born in Italy, but then grew up in England, but obviously plays for Nigeria.
So, fascinating. Yeah, seems like a really top chap.
Good. Well, I was very pleased that he scored.
Yes, it was a lovely hit.
And very pleased that his Nigeria teammate, Iwobi, with that, as you say, delightful touch. I'm glad that touch was mentioned, actually, because it was beautiful.
Took
the way,
two out.
The way he took him out. But Bruno Fernandes seen having a go at referee Michael Oliver after full-time tick.
Always going to be something, isn't it? always going to be something.
It's my responsibility. A little bit of first time with the ref.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you call it a damning defeat for Manchester United, Jim?
I don't think they're quite damned.
A dinky dam. A tiny dam.
It's a micro damning.
A dinky dam. You could have gone with that.
Well, you know, I'm just furthering that idea. It is a really, really frustrating setback for them, isn't it? Because the problem has been consistency for such a long time. And I think they would have gone into this expecting to win fairly comfortably based on their recent form. So another frustrating result.
Yeah. Well, after our chat about Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Evil Jims on Friday's show, listeners got in touch with some more bad Jims, because we have our very own one in you, yes. Mr. Campbell. Stuart said Jim Robinson in Neighbours was a bit of a bastard.
Was he? I mean, he was just looking after the close, wasn't he?
He was the villain, wasn't he, I think?
Was he
the main villain? He was also the main villain in Lost, I think. Now, I appreciate that that is a different character played by a man who is not Jim Robinson, but I think it counts.
Is his name Jim in it?
No.
Well, we're not interested.
He plays the president in 24, I think.
He's
President
Jim.
President Jim of the United States of America.
True. But in Neighbours, according to Pete, he was just looking after the close.
Just looking after the close.
Yeah.
Working with Mr. Udagawa.
Well, we also had Guy saying, Fallon, idiot.
Oh, fucking hell, Jimmy Fallon.
I like Jimmy Fallon.
C word, just a frog faced little NFT slinging gonk.
Is he on the NFT grift?
Oh yeah, massively. Did you not see that terrible bit where he was just talking about? I think he was talking to Paris Hilton, where they were just showing off their little monkeys that they bought. Absolute, and you know, obviously a year later, are worth absolutely nothing.
Yeah, because it's a fucking JPEG of a monkey. Poor
yeah, exactly. So.
What do you think of Jimmy Fallon? I think he's all right.
I think he's a bit. He is a little sycophantic in a way that he doesn't need to be as a host.
All right. Okay.
I wonder if I could be doing more actually in terms of evil. We've seen a lot of examples of these evil. Well, if you've got any suggestions on how I can be more evil, do write in.
We finish with Matt, who says my dog's called Jim and he's a dickhead.
Oh. You hate to see it.
They're all dickheads.
Unless it's your dog and you go, yeah, they are dickheads.
They're delightful dickheads.
They are dickheads. Yeah.
Some of them. All right, coming up in the second half, we've got Arsenal, Aston Villa, and Phil Neville. See you in a moment.
Yeah. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/ramble.
I ain't never felt this bad ever.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Tim Sherwood there.
It's his face in that clip is the thing for me. He looks like he has just seen like a zombie invasion. It's incredible.
I didn't think they'd come here. Thanks
I
to friend.
Think they'd try and eat my face.
Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Moon, for choosing that clip. As they put it, sometimes you just have to play the hits. You can become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. Right, it's time for an update on the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. Every weekend we're placing a £10 Acca on 4 match odds, 90 markets across the football, where any winning bets are paid out at 90 minutes, so you don't need to worry about any stoppage time drama ruining your bet. I picked Palace to beat Burnley, they won 3-0. Jim picked Man City to beat Bournemouth, they won 1-0. Andy picked Arsenal to beat Newcastle, they won 4-1. Luke picked Liverpool to beat Chelsea, they won, but it wasn't in normal time. Which means we fell at the final hurdle again.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
So close.
Bloody normal time. Why do we even call it normal time? It's just time, guys.
Yeah, they don't say, and Van Dijk got the winner in abnormal time.
Abnormal time. Can we start calling extra time abnormal time?
In the 213th yeah. minute of abnormal time.
BDSM time.
Well,
never far away from some grot, are we?
Now, it's not grot, it's love. Love with chains. Love with whips.
One man's love is another man's gross,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the takeaway here.
Call yourself Evil Jim, you absolute vanilla prick.
Oh, dear. Do you remember with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, you will get your winning bet paid out in full at 90 minutes. We'll be back with our next Ramalaka on the preview show on Friday. Now we get to the Jim and Pete derby. Arsenal 4, Newcastle United 1.
Took
Pete
a battering Donaldson. In our little dungeon, didn't you?
Yeah, Botman got it in his bot. With his own goal on the 18th minute.
Really weird on goal, that, wasn't it?
It was.
It seemed to take
was.
About 15
you thought
different
he had
bounces
the
off someone.
He
poor
the chance to get there.
Poor
I really feel sorry for Carrius. It's nice to see him doing bits. I think he's a good goalkeeper, and he just seems to fall through. He seems to step on every rake with his
Botman
career.
Doesn't seem to do that to Dubravka or any of the other goalkeepers. Why is he disrespecting Carrius?
No, I thought he played well, Carrius. He was a person who was quite good, and his shot stopping was good, and he delivers the ball all right. And yeah, we've got Newcastle. If you ever want to resurrect your careers and as a goalkeeper, go to Newcastle, because they never have goalkeeping crisis. It's never an issue. I love it.
Yeah,
but I don't love it here because he let in 4.
I was about to say he did. They conceded 4 since their trip to Dubai. Arsenal have scored 25 goals in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. Long may it continue. It's very, very pleasing to see the team clicking in the way that they are, because earlier on in the season, I believe I mentioned it on the show a few times, but I think this was a fairly common feeling among Arsenal fans as well, was that it wasn't quite as fun to watch as it was last season, because there were new elements of the team that needed to kind of get to know each other a little bit and click into gear, and it feels like that's really, really happened now. Uh-huh. And it's a lot more sort of flowing and fluid, and it's just really, really enjoyable at the moment.
Best goal difference in the league. They've scored 62 goals in 26 league games. Only Liverpool have scored one more goal than them. It's impressive. Scored more goals than Manchester City, Jim.
Yeah.
At this stage in the season.
Well, they keep winning 1-0, which is sort of our thing. It's pathetic.
It is,
to be honest.
All these goals they keep scoring in the Premier League. I know, obviously, we did a Ramble Reacts after the Porto game, but I did think to myself, it was a bit of a strange one in Porto, the fact that they didn't score at all, but it just seemed to be no attacking edge.
Yeah, I think a lot of that was Porto played their game very, very well, but I know what you mean. I just think it was inexperience and a little bit of nerves, to be honest, and they have to put that right at the Emirates.
Obviously Newcastle have had a bit of an up and down season, but still to win 4-1 is impressive against them.
5 games unbeaten in the league and the cup, so it's not as if they're not a team that know how to at least draw a game.
Sure. I think it's one of the things that seems to be quite impressive about this Arsenal team is they really like a bit of revenge.
Yeah.
There was a sense of that in the West Ham game, and a sense of this as well. And I think that's part of breeding a winning mentality, isn't it? That if you slip up, you put it right the next time.
And
they approached the game with a real intensity.
And Newcastle's kind of shithousery and dark arts weren't really, they didn't seem interested in getting involved in that sort of thing. So therefore,
that's what I find impressive about Arsenal. I know these are games you could say that they should be winning, other than obviously the Liverpool one. But the way Arsenal just go, we're just going to play our game and we don't really care what you're going to do. They go out there and the fact that they are hammering teams, 1-6 on the bounce, we're getting towards the, you know, the end of, well, we are in the end of February. Arsenal seem to be clicking at the right time here.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is boding well. Now, obviously, Liverpool and Man City are up there, so huge teams to displace if Arsenal are going to go on and win the league. I think this clearly bodes very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot was made at the start of the season about, you know, essentially trying to do what City do and, like, peaking at the right time, like, making sure that you don't burn yourself out early. Now, I'm concerned, really, that they might already have dropped too many points in that little blip. It might be very, very tight margins, because we've seen how good, we know how good City are, but Liverpool are much more of a contender this season as well, obviously, being sat at the top of the league.
And to reassure you, though, both Liverpool and Man City do need to go to Craven Cottage.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, they could be the kingmakers, couldn't they? Yeah. I think also, you know, Arsenal have to go to City, Spurs and Old Trafford as well. So there's a lot, three tough away games.
Don't worry about Old Trafford, mate.
they could be really, really sort of big defining games. But yeah, they are, they're just in really good form, and they look a lot more robust. Every, like, loads of teams have players out injured. Obviously, every team has to factor that in, but they're dealing with the injuries that they have really well. And, like, Arteta was talking at the start of the season about being harder to play against, being a bit more sort of unpredictable, and having sort of lots of different kind of lineups that can do slightly different things. And we're seeing it come to fruition.
Yeah, Opta's supercomputer.
Oh,
which is a
machine.
Like, I bet you wish you could get your grubby little hands on.
I bet it's
Peter,
like an Amstrad PCW business computer from the 80s.
I bet it doesn't even exist, Peter.
I bet it doesn't exist. I bet it's just a server somewhere. Rubbish. Yeah.
Well, anyway, the supercomputer is still only giving Arsenal an 11.5% chance of winning the title. I don't know. I'd take that.
As a Fulham fan, yeah, you would.
I'd very much take that. If you could get hold of Opta's supercomputer, Peter, like,
it's
what
a dowsing rod. It's not even. It's one of those. It's that
Peter,
bloke who sold
us
that stuff to the Iraqis. That little stick that points out munitions and explosions. And stuff. Yeah.
What?
It's just one of those silly things.
Oh no, Doc Brown sold. It was to the Libyans.
The Libyans.
In Back to the Future. what would you do if you could get hold of this supercomputer? What would you think to yourself? Oh, I can sell this, or I can put a few bugs in there and ruin everything, or, well, I don't know.
Put a few bugs in there and ruin everything.
No, but like suddenly there's
a few bugs in there and ruin everything.
To say, you know, well, of course, the top scorer in Premier League history is now Andy Carroll. And you go, fake fraud.
Right, okay. So, so you would seed illegal
data. I'm asking you what you would do.
Data. Well, probably a bit of that, to be honest. After looking for grot, obviously, Jim.
Don't take my. What kind of grot?
Seeing what internet limitations the Opta computer has.
Well, it's a supercomputer, mate. So
it's a supercomputer.
The only limit is your imagination, which is terrifying.
No, exactly.
Yeah. We've
I think it probably shut itself down. it probably go, good night.
I think,
sorry, I'm leaving.
Yeah. I think for somehow Opta have got your fingerprints.
Right.
And if they appear on the supercomputer just explodes.
Just explode, yeah. For the good of the nation.
Self-destruct.
The idea that you yourself get to a point where you can bring a computer to the singularity, achieve self-awareness, and immediately goes, absolutely not. No.
I shouldn't be abused like this on a Monday.
No, that's true.
I was playing 11-a-side yesterday, and I got absolutely wiped out by an Essex man with very turkey teeth. And the referee said, he's got to go to work tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, I don't work very hard, though. could probably do this with a broken leg.
I love it. You're like, what, kick me again?
Yeah.
What is this?
BDSM, baby. Tell me.
Why do I ask follow-up questions?
Whips
to
and
it's
not
your fault,
Mark. Exactly.
No, it's not your fault. Oh. He thinks he's getting abused right now.
The listeners are getting abused.
Oh, dear. Can I mention Granit Xhaka?
Please do.
Yeah. He's abused a few balls
for
in his
God's
time,
sake.
Kicking it as hard as he can.
I'll tell you something, right? If Arsenal do win the league this season, one could say, well, he's missed out on a Premier League title, but he's on for a Bundesliga title. I mean, it's incredible. He scored a lovely goal for Bayer Leverkusen on the weekend. You saw the celebration.
Yes.
Talk
us through it for those that didn't.
When he scores a goal and then his teammates run around to celebrate with him, they sort of huddle around him, and he motions as if to say, no, get away, I've done my hamstring, because he starts walking awkwardly holding the back of his leg, which anybody does if they've done their hamstring, which is a worrying injury. He's a key player for them. He's been a big player. It's business time in the Bundesliga. They're on the home straight, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, no, we don't want an injury to him. And then and so he does this for like quite a bit of time, and then suddenly starts extending his leg in this sort of weird little jig, and it's clearly turned into then like this odd little celebration.
Yeah.
And it cuts to Xabi Alonso on the touchline, who looks visibly relieved and goes, "Oh no, no, it's all right, lads. He's just being a knob." what are you doing?
It's never dull with Granit Xhaka.
Never dull. Did you see, by the way, before we move on from Arsenal and Newcastle, Joe Willock, who scored a lovely goal, by the way.
Yes.
He refused to apologise for scoring against his old team.
He hasn't played for ages for Arsenal. Yeah.
He didn't actually refuse. The ref went over to him and said, are you going to apologise to these guys? Yeah. No!
I mean, I think I would have liked to see what it was would have been if it was goalless rather than 4-0 down.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
I thought it was a lovely one.
It was.
Yeah.
Peach.
There was no nastiness, though.
There was no nastiness.
Yeah. Between those two Sheffield United teammates.
Jack Robinson and Souza.
Yeah, a little Jimmy bit Bowyer and Dyer.
That was absolutely on the bingo card, wasn't it? If any team were going to do that this season.
Why is that not a red?
What, for battering?
Hands went up.
I just think if you're a referee in Sheffield United and the players are hitting
no one's
each other,
like,
you just got to use
gonna,
your discretion
yeah,
and think, I'm going to be sympathetic.
I'm not going to be talked to.
Yeah, I think also as well, the referee thought to himself, I can't be bothered dealing with Chris Wilder at the end of this.
Yeah.
Imagine if he sent him off and he went, you know, and I've got a Sainsbury's meal deal, I'm going to get tucked into after as well.
Like some really dry sushi I got munched through. I mean, Chris Wilder is the ultimate, like, show some fighting spirit without really having the tactical nous to, you know.
No, but he does have a bit of tactical nous. Yeah. It's odd.
Not in this case.
No,
not in the way they're
the
playing with
so tough, though.
Yeah, he did say with regards to Susan Robinson, he said, if it takes something like that to get them going, then I'm happy.
Get them all going.
All I want,
BDSM.
Oh, God.
You're the one talking about the Bundesliga. Bottom. Yeah, bottoms.
Again, why do I ask the question?
Carry on.
It's 10:40 a.m. on Monday.
And I'm horny. I was up at 6.
Are you horny for goals, Peter?
I'm horny for goals.
Well, let's talk about Aston Villa 4, Nottingham Forest 2 then.
Yeah.
How about that? Villa got back on track after losing their previous two games at home. Nice little Brucey bonus for them to play Forest. although they never even maybe nearly threw it away. I mean, they... blistering in that first half, you know, as they often do. They know how to blitz teams, Villa.
They do, yeah, especially
at home. You're a fan who knows whose team know how to blitz teams. You can appreciate the fellow blitzing.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's what we all want. Because, let's be honest, you're not really comfortable until you're at least 3-0 up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, though, Forrest came back and then missed a chance. Was it Elanga who had it?
Yeah, a big chance as well, he'll be thinking about that now.
And I mean, I felt that even if they'd have equalised, Villa could have gone, right, okay, that...
That's a ramp it up, yeah.
Yeah, look, Villa, when they click, as we know, this season they're very, very impressive. Douglas Luiz, though, helping himself to another couple. All his 9 goals have been at Villa Park this season. Douglas Luiz, Jim, is hot property.
Oh, massively so.
And he, there was an article written not that long ago saying that the next £100 million footballer could be Douglas Luiz. If indeed he does go, and obviously the money.
He's just got so much strength in that position, and obviously, you know, scoring goals with this sort of regularity is a massive, massive element to his game that he's improved. It's mad to think he's already been at City.
Yeah, and didn't
really
play.
Yeah, exactly. They really, he sort of really slipped through the net there. But I guess
there were work permit issues there.
Right, okay.
So I don't know if it's as cut and dry as they just, you know, didn't fancy him or whatever.
Yeah. But, also, but they are fairly well stacked with decent midfielders.
They are. I just want to say that there was, I only went on loan to, was it Girona? I mean, that would probably make sense, wouldn't it? But now he's at Villa and he's been there for a while. But you're right, though. There's so many strengths to his game. I mean, there is the physical strength. Yeah.
But it's the passing range, the vision, the goal scoring now. There's a real presence about him as well. He's someone, I think, who sort of takes control and is the grown-up in midfield.
Totally, yeah. And he's still quite a young man. And for a player, this is me being a bit of a dinosaur, maybe, thinking in old money, but you would think a player with those kind of attributes would be more like a number 10, a more advanced player.
Yeah.
Because he plays at the base like a sort of a deep-lying playmaker and whatnot. And again, there's still that tiny little bit of me that goes, oh, yeah. But I mean, as I say, I think that's me thinking in old money.
We just think anyone who can score goals should play in the hole. Right? just the hole is where any creative player should
exactly, go. Exactly, exactly, yeah. But they're so well equipped. And Leon Bailey as well was wonderful. Yeah. He's a lovely, lovely player. You know, so many goal involvements, as we say now.
Yeah.
And then Ollie Watkins as well, who's having a great, great season. And I mean, with Watkins, I was thinking about this. Watkins has done everything right.
Mm-hmm.
He's been absolutely brilliant.
think Villa fans are just loving life at the moment.
Well, what I was going to say is, and you know I always like a bit of England chat.
Yeah.
Is would you still have Watkins above Tony? Because Watkins has not put a foot wrong.
No, he hasn't, has he? I feel like unless Ollie Watkins is scoring a goal in the moment you're talking about here.
Yeah.
He sort of slips down the pecking order somehow. Yeah. I don't know people. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just my perception of it. But I think, there is this sense that Tony's slightly ahead of him, despite him barely having played. But
yeah.
You can't really make room for both of them.
You just think he's got a higher ceiling. But it's like that. You can only you're playing him now. Yeah, exactly. But that's weird, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think
that's weird. The thing I'm thinking, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, not as weird as some of the things.
No,
careful. You're sorry, I'm doing it again, right. Everybody. I apologise.
Yeah.
Are Forest in trouble, Peter?
No.
Okay, they've got a healthy 4-point gap above the relegation.
Yeah,
so
that might not be enough.
Yeah.
What does the supercomputer say?
Let me have a look at their fixtures.
The supercomputer's telling us to sod off for some reason. But look, I think with Forest. They're 4 points above the relegation zone. Now,
I think that's doable.
The teams above them, Brentford, who they've got Tony back, so we think Brentford will be okay. Bournemouth, who have had a pretty decent season by and large, and, you know,
Bournemouth would be absolutely
unlucky
fine.
Not to get something out of the game. Palace, who got a victory under their new coach there, and you would think that they'll be fine. I think you're going far too up now. You've got to look down, really. Everton, who don't lose many games. They don't win many, but they're drawing. It's all a question is, can Luton reel in Everton or Forest? Yeah. And I'm not sure they can. But you think about that potential points deduction. I don't know. That happens,
I'll factor that in though. I wasn't factoring that in my particular calculation.
Sure.
It could be a huge factor.
But it's difficult to kind of.
But
talk
it could
about.
Be tenth and get dragged in.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned for Forest. I know they are scoring a few goals and whatnot. But I think with the spirit Luton have been showing, despite having lost three on the bounce, I think Everton will be okay. I think they'll manage to galvanise themselves. I think you might be looking at between Forest and Luton.
Speller's the Greta Thunberg of the podcast. Concerned for the forests.
Concerned for the trees.
Concerned for the tricky
trees.
For
those tricky trees.
Well, they are tricky, though. This is what we're all forgetting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but are they going to trick themselves up? I don't know, Jim. Oh, dearie me. Right, everybody.
As your dessert.
Now, thankfully, we've got all that Premier League tosh out the way. Mm, we can focus on a proper league. In a proper part of the world with a proper man. Major League Soccer is back. It started up again.
Started with a fizz.
Never thought it would come to this.
And the early pace setters are Portland Timbers. Now, I know they play in different divisions and all that. It's not like one big pot. But you have to say, Jim Campbell, they are the top scorers across the board.
They are.
They won 4-1. Against Colorado Rapids. I mean, we talk about Arsenal and Aston Villa blitzing teams. My goodness.
Scintillating stuff.
It was absolutely brilliant.
Stepovers galore. They're clearly being coached by a master.
Jim, the quality of the goals. There was an own goal in there.
Sure.
But that
is a sign of how dominant they were.
Exactly.
It's a sort of stop hitting yourself sort of goal.
Yeah, the
which
Rapids,
only the real elite managers can coax out of their teams.
Look, we're only reporting the facts, Peter. You can sit there all, you know,
giggly.
Sniffing away at all this
sniffing
kind of stuff.
Sniffing away and giggly.
But you've got to say.
It's one match, though. Yeah. You know.
Well, that's all we've got to go on.
I
100% record.
I mean, he did say.
This is Peter Utaka stuff.
He did say. shit.
Jim. What an ace card to play.
That was beautifully done.
Yeah, well, look, Fizzer said after the game, we're almost resetting the culture in a way. I felt tonight there was a different feeling to the whole stadium. It was almost like there was a reset. There was a freshness. This is a new era.
Is Phil been on the internet? Because, like, he's a man who could be radicalised very easily. He's talking about great resets and all that stuff. I just think, like, we're almost resetting the culture in a way. We'll get quoted back to him next week when they lose. Quoted at you by me next week when they lose.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Yeah. The great reset, the great Pete reset.
I think they're going to win all the cups.
All the cups.
They're going to do a quadruple if that's possible.
Okay. If he does start talking about that stuff as well, you know Gary's going to be on the phone putting him right.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
He'll be all
that's
right.
A good point. Yeah, he's got his brother
tug
after him.
Oh, Phil, Phil, Phil.
Phil, Phil, Phil.
Look, when all said and done, Peter, you've got to give credit where credit's due. Are you going to give Phil?
I'll give him credit for a one match win for a five star team.
Okay.
Keep this going throughout the MLS season.
Yeah,
how much credit will Pete Donaldson?
How much credit?
I'm going to give him credit for 8 wins out of 8.
Yeah, I'm going to have a big not Travelator. That's the Gladiators. I've been watching a lot of Gladiators. What's the bring and buy sell thing you have on Blue Peter where they used to get totted up when they, you know, you'd send in a fox in.
What, like on a telethon?
Yeah. What's that kind of like? Not Travelator. What's the thing where it goes up?
I don't know.
The how much credit Phil has got in the bank.
Why don't we call it the Phil Nevillometer?
The Phil Nevillometer.
The Fizzometer.
The Fizzometer, of course.
Yeah.
The Fizzometer.
How much fizz in a glass of champagne?
Yes.
And it goes up or down, right?
But maybe, is it just a feeling, baby? How much fizz have you got in your champers?
Exactly.
An awful lot right now, everybody, after that win. There's a party in Portland and no one's sleeping tonight.
The Totalizer.
That's the one.
I believe it was the Totalizer.
Fizzometer's way better.
It's the Fizzometer.
Create a Fizzometer and I'm interested.
Okay, cool.
Otherwise, shut your little dirty face. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join myself and Andy tonight for Ramble Reacts after West Ham versus Brentford. Huge presser on David Moyes. Maidstone United also play Coventry in the FA Cup fifth round tonight. Big one.
Huge one.
How's that stuck
away on a Monday night?
Yeah, I know. So do join us for Ramble Reacts. A lot to chat about there. You might think it might not be the most glamorous fixture. Well, let me tell you it is, because you've got two big England hopefuls talking about forward positions, Jarrod Bowen and Ivan Toney, of course. As we mentioned, the pressure on David Moyes and Maidstone United. Come on, what a fairy tale it can be. Can they get to that sixth round? Get involved. Do follow us on X, which used to be known as Twitter, I think. TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And follow us on Spotify. There we are, everybody. It's been a bloody pleasure. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Farewell, sexies.
Thank you, Fulham. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.